Hello, this is Bob Case with the audio blog of Case in Point. Today our blog is entitled, The Need for Christian Journalists, Part 2. If we Christians continue to absent ourselves from the pursuit of news in the mainstream media, then it is unlikely that any remedy can hope to succeed in stemming the wayward winds of general relativism, skepticism, and nihilism. In this journalistic reawakening, it is important that the question whether enduring and abiding Christian concerns are granted visibility, or whether the worldview of historic Christianity is suppressed by editorial decisions. I refer to the universal Christian concerns such as 1. Justice and love shown towards racial and religious minorities, the poor, and the socially forgotten. 2. A peaceful and law-abiding society is pursued. 3. Cultural activities such as learning, commerce, and subduing nature according to God's word are embraced. 4. Personal moral standards are adhered to. 5. Family and state examined in light of God's word. And 6. Judeo-Christian definition of human essence or anthropology is argued. I am indebted to Mark Knoll, Nathan Hatch, and George Marsden for noting these 6 concerns that God would have concerning his children and his culture. I would argue that the future of American culture and Western civilization depend on whether print and broadcast are reserved only for human speculation and transitory happenings, or whether Christian concerns are given equal time and space in the public square. Take note, I have not mentioned a word about quoting the Bible or evangelism or proselytizing, only about the universal and abiding concerns of human life as given by a Creator God. Carl Henry has noted that the fact that our self-revealing God is an abstract, non-sensory reality is not what gives him a poor press. After all, ephemeral concepts such as justice, love, human rights, evil, hate, beauty, courage, and much else that makes the news are also non-sensory concepts. Rather, by reporting only the perverse, the wicked, the violent, the criminal, the depressing, the chaotic, the greedy, random, dangerous, etc., if it bleeds, it leads, as the decisively real world, the mainstream media helped foster an almost purely biased, that is, sensate misunderstanding of reality. That is, the press reports on the theological aspect of the fall of humankind, and not the equally real aspect of the offer of redemption. Thus it obscures hope. A mood of perpetual crisis in the temporal, socio-political, economic sphere is nurtured by the press, rather than the reality of the eternal spiritual and cosmic control of a kind and purposeful God. This constant repetition of emotion-laden experiences, which appeals to our sentimental and romantic sinful nature, drives us to harden ourselves against the personal sacrificial involvement in society. From a Christian perspective, the mass media's denial of spiritual reality, their embracing of moral relativism, and their accommodation of materialistic, sensate, and purposeless view of life is wrongheaded and thus destructive to the amelioration of the woes of humankind. In this age of mass secularized media, the mission of all journalists of faith is to overcome the eclipse of God and to provide an alternative to the dominant secular mindset in the mainstream newsroom, as well as the tepid and non-discerning Christian newsroom. To this end, the Christian journalist must offer the mainstream newsrooms an alternative at the frontiers of gathering news to accurately, compellingly report and write the news that is verifiable. Today's journalist of faith echoes Samuel Cornish, the 19th century African-American New York newspaperman and evangelical Presbyterian pastor, who wrote in the first edition of his newspaper in March 1827, that the reason for an African-American perspective on the news was that he was tired of the truncated coverage of African-American affairs and that, quote, we wish to plead our own cause. Too long have others spoken for us. Too long has the public been decided by misrepresentations in things that concern us dearly. End of quote.